Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today, top of the hour, 1 o'clock on the East. Hopefully you're having a great Thursday. Of course, tomorrow's show, we are locked and loaded. Our friend Jim Sanis joins us to preview the big NASCAR race in Sonoma coming up this weekend. Also, Gray Albright is back with us this week as well. George Kurtz today filling in for Davis Manek in the second hour of the show. And George, I know there's a big game. We're going to talk about this game actually coming up here in just a few minutes. Boston and New York Islanders. How far are you from Nassau's Coliseum, I think it's called? How far are you from there?
I guess the technical name is Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, but it's the Nassau Coliseum. How far am I? I'd say about – it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's in the middle of the island in Nassau County. Probably 45 minutes to an hour, something like that. The new Coliseum, I don't know what the name of it is. I keep forgetting. HSBC Arena? That might be it. That's on the border of Queens and Nassau. That's also not the easiest place for me to get to. That's close to an hour away here. But still, it looks beautiful. I've seen the I've driven by it. It looks really nice.
And so if somebody came to your house, knocked on your door as soon as the show was over and handed you two tickets to go to tonight's game, would you go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would definitely go. Absolutely. I've been to playoff games at the Coliseum. The Coliseum is an old, outdated arena, and it isn't great, but it's loud. It's, like I said, it's great for concerts because it's got the acoustics, and the fans are right on top of the ice. I mean, it's a great place. I mean, I like the arena. I understand why the Islanders needed a new arena. They needed more seats, and you need the luxury boxes. We all know that, right? All sports stadiums need the luxury boxes nowadays. So, I get it, but I would absolutely go. I'm not I probably wouldn't have gone last year to any games. You know, even if you were able to, but I would certainly go now. Absolutely. That place is going to be rocking tonight.
Well, we'll have a preview of it coming up in about 5 minutes from now. So stay with us on the grid. Here are our headlines here on this Thursday, hour two on this edition of the show. Two elimination games tonight in the NBA. Will the Los Angeles Lakers be able to push the Phoenix Suns to game 7? I think that's probably one of the huge questions tonight. Of course, Denver and Portland is the other game as well. Two game threes tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're going to preview those games, as I mentioned, coming up. Afternoon baseball is underway. No score in the third inning between Washington and Atlanta. Tampa Bay and New York is starting right now. They're getting ready to throw out first pitch. And the Memorial Golf Tournament is underway from Dublin, Ohio. So some fun golf going on this weekend. And so, George, in terms of your DFS and wagering and interest level, I don't think that we've ever gotten really into this, but is there any of these secondary type sports that has your interest? We know you as a big baseball fan. We know you as a hockey guy. And then, of course, we're all got to be into football here. I mean, there's no getting around that. So it's those three. Is there something else that would pique the interest of George Kurtz? We know SpongeBob is not one of those. Is there anything else?
Generally, those are my three areas. I don't know if it's stubborn, but that's all I follow. You know, I don't follow any other sports here. I do play just about everything else. I'll play pickup basketball on the street with the kids at any time. You know, a bunch of kids have hoops out there. I love to play. I go golfing. You know, and there's no more frustrating sport than golf for the life of me. You want to hear colorful language? Go golfing with me and my my brother and some friends, and you'll hear colorful language. I've lost a club in a tree. You know, yes, I threw it up there. I was angry. I did. I didn't mean to lose it in a tree. I thought it would come down. I didn't even know the tree was up there. I just flipped it up there, and it got stuck, and that was the end of a 5-wood. So it happens, you know. So, but I do enjoy golf. There's no more fun than golfing with your buddies, but it's also the most frustrating sport because unless you play it all the time, you're not going to get any good at it.
Yeah, the thing with golf is that you hit that one shot. And when you're playing, like, let's say you're playing 18 holes and then you think that you can just repeat it on the next one and then you can't repeat it. And that's definitely part of it, no doubt about that. As far as baseball is concerned, George, we're hearing a lot, as we talked about last hour, about potentially them policing pitchers as far as substances that are on the ball. Do you think that this is going to make a big impact in the second half of the season, or do you think that this is much ado about nothing?
Well, that depends on baseball. I had a buddy of mine call me last night. He's all worried that DeGrom's going to get in trouble, you know, because he thinks he's one of the guys because the spin rate is up. First thing I told him was they're all doing it, you know, to different degrees, but they're all doing it. Now, we talked about this yesterday. The players were told that they're collecting balls, but that there would be no punishment. They're just collecting balls. So maybe that doesn't stop you. You know, maybe if it's me, oh, they're going to collect them, but they're not going to punish me. All right, I'm not going to change my habits here. I'm still going to do what I normally do. But now, let's say baseball in 2 weeks says, okay, if we catch you now, you're going to get punished. Well, what's the punishment? Are we talking a fine? You know, are we talking something silly like the NHL, you're going to get a $5,000 fine, which is what? The equivalent of like $5 to you and I, that's not going to stop anybody from doing anything. You know, is it going to be 50,000? Is it going to be a five-game suspension, a start? You know, so until we know the what they're going to do, if they're not going to have any teeth to the punishment, it's not going to stop anything. So I'm curious, much as anybody else, what are they going to do? Because like I said, I'm of the big belief that I would say 75% are doing something. Just some are doing more than others.
Yeah, and I think we're going to find out, and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be painful. We're not going to like the results. And for those of us who are playing in fantasy sports, you're going to have your guys missing for a period of time. But hopefully it's just an example for someone, and then the rest end up cleaning it up, because it does seem like the hitters are getting kind of annoyed at this point for sure. All right, coming up next, it's my favorite segment of the day here on Fantasy Sports Today. I throw out the game to George Kurtz, and he talks for 10 minutes, and I listen and learn, because that's basically what it comes down to in the NHL. Boston and New York, a preview. Carolina and Tampa Bay, a preview. That's next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
two games in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, and one co-host here who's probably going to be refereeing some hockey tonight, too. So I don't know if, George, you're going to be able to watch both of these games with all of your time on the ice tonight. But we do have two games. I think, unfortunately, it doesn't look like FanDuel is telling us that one of the games is going to be close. But maybe there is a chance that the Islanders pull it off. And I don't know if that's your New York bias coming out, George. I don't know. I feel like you're pretty transparent when it comes to this stuff. But let's take a look on FanDuel as where it stands right now in Game 3. We have Boston, and that's a pretty big line right there, George, minus 144. Once you're dipping into minus 150, it becomes a prohibitive favorite. The Islanders are plus 122 on the money line. The total is 5.5. That's not a surprise. Series is tied at 1. So how do you see this happening tonight? Yesterday, you had a little bit of a lean toward New York. We said that we would wait for today to make the final decision. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, for the Islanders, listen, this should be a good series and it should be a good game. The reason I like the Islanders tonight, I fully believe Boston is the better team. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. You can make an argument Boston's better in every facet of the game. Tuukka Rask, top goaltender. I don't know if I'm going to say he's better than Varlamov and/or Sorokin, but he's their equal, right? And Rask has done it in big games before. We know the Boston offense is better, right? Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, that top line is top three, top four in the NHL. Islanders don't have anywhere near close to it. Secondary scoring edges towards Boston as well. The defense may be even here. What should give the Islanders the edge tonight is the Nassau Coliseum. They call it Fort Never Lose in the playoffs because the fans will be rocking. Now, you can make an argument that can work against you because the players will be revved up. Sometimes you're too revved up, you make mistakes here. But it'll give the Islanders that extra boost. I fully believe in Game 6 versus Pittsburgh last round, you heard the fans going. I think they got under Jarry's skin. Tristan Jarry was the goaltender. They were jeering him, and he played terrible. Now, Boston won't. They're a veteran team. They're not going to fall for that. But it should give the Islanders the extra edge. I think they almost have to win tonight if they want to win this series. You know, they'll be down 2-1 if they lose, but they need to win these games at home. Right now, they have the home ice advantage again here. I think it's going to be a close game. The over-under is 5.5 here. I did see in some places it's actually 5, which I think is nuts. I think it's about right. I don't feel confident either way. But the plus 126 with the Islanders, if you're going to bet the Islanders, this is the game. Because I don't know if I'm going to bet them again after this. So it'll be a small bet, but I'm going to take the Islanders here. I think, like I said, Boston, I think it could take them a little bit to get used to what's going to happen here. You know, I don't know who the fans are going to go after. They go after somebody every game, and it's usually not the niceties of saying anything. Maybe it'd be Marchand, who's known as the and even though he's calmed his act down, he's not the nicest player in the NHL. One of the done some dirty things there, but that's what I expect there. So I am going the Islanders tonight. Like I said, it won't be a big play. I'll say it again. I fully believe Boston's the better team. I think they will win the series in 7. I think the series is going there. I think it will be a full series there. But give me the Islanders tonight.
What is the story with their stadium situation right now? With them playing there and then the new arena, what is up with that?
Yeah, the new arena, from all reports, will be done by October when the next NHL season starts. This is, once again, assuming that the NHL is going to start in October, which from all reports are they are, that this will be a normal season, which I don't see why it wouldn't. The playoffs are running on time, so they're going to end before the Olympics. Gives the NHL players about, 2.5 months off here. So next season should begin early October, just like it always does. And the arena is said to be ready and on time. Now, Craig, would it shock me? We've seen this before where maybe the Islanders don't play at home for the first half of October if they need little things to be done. The Seattle Kraken are also opening next season. They could have the same issue with their stadium. Maybe they don't play at home that much in October. Hockey's the forever season in a non-pandemic, so they can afford to do that. It's not that big a deal. But the new arena is expected to be ready and open for opening night next season.
Okay, interesting enough. All right, now let's move on to Tampa Bay. The Lightning dismantled of the Florida Panthers, which was a very competitive series in terms of the games, but the results were all basically in Tampa Bay's favor. And Carolina's had a really nice season, but man, it looks like it's about to come to an end as Tampa Bay is minus 178 on the money line on FanDuel tonight. Carolina, you can get plus 148. Total is also 5.5 in this one. Lightning lead the series 2-0, and they're at home, George.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's a good team, but you can't lose. You cannot lose 2 games at home and then go to Tampa Bay. What's your best-case scenario? You're down 3-1. going back to Carolina. The series is all but over. All but over. I don't think the Hurricanes are coming back. That being said, I do think they can win a game. They are that good a team. You can make an argument that they've outplayed Tampa for probably four and a half of the periods here. The problem has been finishing. Vasilevsky is playing so well. I'll keep saying it. In my mind, he's the best goaltender in the NHL. He struggled the first five games versus Florida and then figured it out in game six. Or maybe the defense figured it out. Maybe it was a combination of both here. Had the shutout, and he has looked great. He's your MVP of this the first two games. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He shut down Carolina. Carolina's outshot Tampa Bay. It could have been much worse. Carolina's, you know, they've outshot them. But it could have been much worse. They've mishandled some passes, passing at the skates here, not quite all that crispness. But the biggest problem with Carolina has been one goal a game that Nedeljkovic has let up. He can't let up. He just can't do it. Vasilevsky's not letting that goal up. You know, you got to beat Vasilevsky. The game-winning goal in game one against Nedeljkovic, it looked like he got his feet tangled. He went down awkwardly, which you just don't see a goalie do. It was strange. It was really a strange goal, and the puck had eyes. The puck had eyes and went in that little slot that was the opening. In game two, Killorn scores on a shot from about 50 feet out. Can't go in. Can't go in. I understand he only gave up two goals. And I think I said the little joke the other day where, you know, if you would have told Carolina fans that Tampa Bay is only going to score two goals, they probably wouldn't have cared if Nedeljkovic threw it in his own net. You know, because you're going to take it. You got to score more than two to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. But still, that's the kind of goal that deflates your team. You see it going, you're like, oh. How does that go in? I think it just deflates your team here. So that's in my mind, that's the huge difference. That Tampa Bay is getting that one goal a game that shouldn't go in. And Vasilevsky, you're lucky if you're getting any goals. You're lucky if you're getting a goal that should go in, more or less one that shouldn't go in. Vasilevsky is at the top of his game again now. He's played three fantastic games in a row. And if he's going to keep playing like this, this series will end in four. And it'll be nothing the Hurricanes do about it. As it is, I do think the Canes will win. Maybe not tonight. Maybe it's game four here, but I don't think they'll get swept here. I'm going to go with the Lightning tonight as well, but minus 168, I will have a parlay. It'll be with a baseball game, not with the Islanders. I don't feel that strongly about it. So give me the Lightning tonight. And the over-under, okay. Once again, I lean the under.
Under tonight. Real quick opinion, Colorado-Vegas tomorrow, with Colorado dominating in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, George. I'm seeing, at least early on, Colorado minus 120 going into tomorrow night's game, and Winnipeg minus 115 on the money line against Montreal. Early opinion, any edge to betting these now, or we can just wait till tomorrow?
Well, I don't think there's much of a difference here. It might change one way or the other depending on where the money comes in, but I think you're okay if you wanted to bet now. I think with Colorado, listen, Vegas got screwed last night. That was a bad call in overtime. You know, you mentioned I referee men's hockey leagues, and I don't want to make that call in a men's hockey league more than less in the NHL. That can't be called. That slash on the stick. I mean, come on. That happens a lot in the game because Rantanen let go of the stick. Can't do it. Oh, I lost my stick. No, that can't be called. I think Vegas got screwed there. They played well. I think they will win tomorrow night. That crowd in Vegas is also a nutso crowd. I think that'll be good for the Golden Knights. If they don't win, by the way, it'll be a sweep in four. Montreal and Winnipeg. We had the big the big hit yesterday by Shifley. Shifley will be suspended for that hit. It's not an in-person hearing, which means it'll be between one and five games. My guess they'll cut the difference somewhere around three for that hit on Evans Day, which was I'm going to go so far as dirty, but it was pretty close to dirty there. Montreal has to play their game. Forget about getting revenge here. Peg got eliminated last year because Shifley got hurt. That's why one of the reasons they lost to Calgary here, and now he might miss this series. Montreal's a team of destiny, it seems to be here. I'm going to go the under here. I think there won't be as many goals scored as yesterday, but I'm not going to bet this game until we find out about Shifley.
Fair enough. All right, coming up next, four teams, four quarterbacks. Only one position on each team can be a starter. So we'll go through Denver, New England, New Orleans, and San Francisco. FanDuel's got some betting options on who will start week one. Run through them next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In just 2 months from now, a lot of our focus will be on the 2021 NFL season and fantasy football season. Yes, that is less than 2 months away as we sit here on June the 3rd. But we got a full month of baseball, full month of basketball, hockey, soccer, everything else to cover. But we figured we would dip into a little of the early lines here on FanDuel as far as who may end up starting in week one at quarterback in September. Now, George, I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better going into this NFL season with knowledge than I did last offseason, knowing, and I know that the preseason doesn't mean a ton, and there's only three preseason games this year as opposed to four, but I felt really blind going into last NFL season from a fantasy perspective, from a betting perspective, with just not a lot known, with teams not playing in their home spots, with fans not being there. And with all this lead time going in, I feel like with FanDuel giving us some potential odds that I think that I'll have a better idea going into this season. I don't know. That's just the way more information to me is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Information is power, right? I agree with you. Last year was weird. It was just weird. There were no training camps. There was no mini camp, barely a training camp. We weren't getting news because the reporters weren't allowed in. So it was definitely strange. You mentioned the games itself, all those teams that have great home field advantage, the Superdome, Kansas City, Green Bay, they lost that without the fans there. So I completely agree with you. This year would be more back to normal.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so let's start off with one of the teams that has a great home field advantage, speaking of which, but not a great quarterbacking situation. It is the Denver Broncos, who I've stated many times here on the show, George, I'm just not a huge fan of the direction that they're going in. And Drew Lock, who I think still has a chance to be good, is the favorite to start at quarterback, but it is essentially a dead heat with Teddy Bridgewater on FanDuel right now. They're both plus 145. So if you can guess right on this, you can make yourself some decent coin. Any other quarterback on FanDuel is plus 220. Brett Rippon really has no shot. He is 16-1. Which way do you think Denver goes here, George? They certainly did not bring in Teddy Bridgewater to just pat Drew Lock on the back and say, go get him. They brought him into play. But do you think that Denver pivots away? Because if they do that, that's pretty much signals the end of Lock, I think, in Denver.
Well, I think Lock is a lot like Daniel Jones of the Giants. It's prove it time. And where Jones will get the full season, I don't know if Lock gets the full season. I don't know if he gets training camp. You know, it really comes down to that. All right, listen, they acquired Bridgewater because he was free. He was pretty much free. All right, once the Panthers did what they did, they acquired Darnold, you know, they were going to move on from Teddy B, which is fine. You know, I have no issues with that. Bridgewater, he's not dynamic. I've never been really all that thrilled about him. You look at his numbers, he doesn't throw the ball down the field all that much or all that well. And this team is loaded. Offensively, this team is loaded. I mean, think about it here. Running back, you drafted Javonte Williams. You got Melvin Gordon. It's good, solid. Wide receiver, Sutton, Judy, Hamlet, Patrick. You're loaded there. Tight end, Fant. I mean, your offense is there. You should be scoring points. It all comes down to the quarterback. It just comes down to the quarterback here. So I think I'm going to go with Lock here. But, boy, if Bridgewater outperforms him in training camp, and there's a reason why they're both even here. I can see Bridgewater getting the job. I think Bridgewater is probably a better quarterback than Lock, but I think Denver needs to find out. Is Lock going to be the guy, or are you drafting a quarterback? And I am also of the belief that Denver made a mistake in the draft. Unless you think you're going to be terrible again, a couple of quarterbacks fell to you at number 9. Instead, you took a cornerback. Okay, every team needs a cornerback, but I think you have to grab a quarterback there. There are a couple of guys that were there. Pick one you like there. Mac Jones, Fields, whoever it might be, could have traded up to if you wanted to get somebody else. I think they should have taken a quarterback because I think either one of those guys will be better than Lock and or Bridgewater.
And the any other at plus 220 is clearly signaling if they get Aaron Rodgers plus 220. That's definitely the reason why that's there over on FanDuel. Okay, now let's move over to the New England Patriots. And boy, would we have been dead wrong about this last year, George, right? Like Jared Stidham was probably the minus. And then it was, I don't even know who their backup was at this point last year, to be honest. I don't even remember. Was it Hoyer? I don't even recall. But they re-signed Cam Newton, so he's minus 270. Mac Jones is plus 230. Stidham is not in the picture. We were completely fooled, George, by Jared Stidham. This time last year, we all thought he was the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. And boy, did that not happen. So are we going to get fooled again here? Is Mac Jones going to start game one? Or you think it is Cam Newton at minus 270?
What I got playing in my head right now is Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who. Thank you for that. I think when it comes down to this, whenever you draft, this is all we see now with rookie quarterbacks the past 5-10 years. Whenever you draft a rookie quarterback in round one, he's going to start. The question is when. When? And I think that's the same question for New England. When, as soon as he's ready, he's starting. Is that week one? That's the question for Bill Belichick. I think we know that Cam's not the answer at this point in his career. You know, he's not a very good passer. This division is loaded. I mean, we know the Buffalo Bills is one of the best teams in the AFC. Miami Dolphins are an up-and-coming team. All right, they're ready. I don't think they're quite ready yet. I think they need another year to cook and get some more players there, but they're going to be a good team. New England went out and spent a fortune during the offseason, which they generally don't do, but they went out and spent that to try and compete with Buffalo and Miami. Jets are still in the rebuilding stage, but they're getting better. They open up two division games. Miami Jets play New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Do you want to play Tampa Bay with Mac Jones at quarterback? You know Bill's got to be looking at that and going, I don't want to get wrecked by Brady. I don't care what Bill's telling you, how much he loves Tom and how much they have, blah, blah, blah. He does not want to get wrecked there. And you're talking Miami, good defense. New Orleans, good defense. Tampa, good defense. I think Cam start the first four games. I think Cam gets the first four games to figure it out here. Then the schedule gets much better for Mac Jones. They play at Houston, they're a disaster. Cowboys, we know they couldn't stop anybody last year. Jets again, before it might get a little tougher with the Chargers there. So I'm going to go with Cam here because I think I think that Brady really rings in here. I think he'll go with Cam, see if they get us to 2-2, survive the first quarter of the season here before we're going to make that change.
All right, now let's move over to the New Orleans Saints, where it looks like they're going to make the big mistake of giving Jameis Winston the starting quarterback job. I think this is a terrible idea. He is minus 280 on FanDuel. I'm not saying Taysom Hill is better, but I just am not clear on this. Plus 220, Ian Book from Notre Dame is 16-1. Trevor Siemian's not getting the starting gig. He's 20-1. George, nothing against Jameis Winston, but it's like him not playing for a year made him better somehow. And people just forget how bad he is in Tampa Bay. Now, look, for fantasy, he's fantastic. He is great, especially in leagues where you don't lose points for interceptions. But you can't throw 25 interceptions in the NFL and start. And so I guess that they're going to give the reins to Winston technically here. But I would start Taysom Hill. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I that's who I would go with. But what do you think about this one?
I'm going to agree with everything you said, but Winston starting. Okay? I don't think there's any doubt that Winston's starting. Taysom Hill's not the answer. He's just not the answer. All right, not a quarterback, not long-term here. I agree with everything else you said. I mean, I don't know if he can stop. He threw 30 interceptions, not 25. It's over. Over 20, 30. What's a number we can live with, or that Sean Payton can live with? That's really what it comes down to. What can you live with here? He's not going to cut it down to 9, 18. You know, I think they might be able to live with that. If you're a believer, it is, does the 1 year under Payton with Drew Brees there teach him the value of the football, you know, of holding onto the football, of not taking chances? Listen, we all know not all of those interceptions. I'm sure if we go back and look at the tape, not all of them were his fault. I'm sure the receivers ran some wrong routes. I'm sure there were balls that were deflected. I know there were. I had Winston on a few fantasy teams that year, and I did get points taken off for interceptions, Craig. So I was not happy. But I think he's definitely going to be the starting quarterback. Hill's going to play some. There'll be packages for Hill. We knew packages with Drew Brees when Hill was there. So certainly going to be packages for Hill as well. I'm not saying he's going to keep the job all year. I'm not going to guarantee that, but I definitely think out of the three we just talked about, this is the one I feel the most positive about, that Winston starts week one.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers. And if Jimmy Garoppolo is on their team to start the season, then this looks like an easy bet of minus 320. But realistically speaking, I mean, it's still a little bit up in the air, I guess. Trey Lance is plus 240. Nick Mullins, who I still like. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably the only one that likes Nick Mullins. I still think he could start for somebody. But look, we know Trey Lance is the quarterback of the future now in San Francisco, George. The only question is game one. What do you got here?
You're right. That is the only question here. Is when he's going to start here. Think about it. I mean, they're saying all the right things about Garoppolo, right? Oh, we love Jimmy. He took us to the Super Bowl. We love Jimmy. Not only did you give up the farm to go get that draft pick, but apparently he didn't even know who you're going to take. You didn't know it was going to be Lance, Fields, Zach Wilson. You didn't even know, which means you wanted anybody but Jimmy. Anybody that's coming out of this draft class, you wanted more of a Jimmy. All right, so the only question is Lance ready? We've heard different reports. Some people say no, that he needs pretty much a redshirt year. Other people believe, yes, he'll be ready here. I'm going to say it's Jimmy G, but once again, I don't feel great about this. I think this is another situation where you sort of look at the schedule here. We look at the schedule and find when's the soft landing spot. That's a tough division. I think it's the best division in football here. So I'm going to go Jimmy G to start here, but it's going to be transitioned over. I think it's just a matter of when, Craig. But give me Jimmy G to start.
Yeah, I think so. So to recap, George, we'll both be in agreement on Jimmy G. I think it's Taysom Hill. You think it's Winston. We both think Cam Newton starts game one, and then you like Drew Lock for game one at +145. Is that, or do you like Bridgewater? I forget. I'm sorry.
I think Bridgewater is the better quarterback, but I think Denver needs to find out. Give me Drew Lock.
Okay, I'll take Bridgewater there just to play the opposite side there. All right, coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality as we bring Brett in for some burning questions of the day, which include the Chicago Cubs and whether or not they will chase down the postseason. Also, look, some discussion about leaving an arena in a blowout. Is that acceptable in sports? We'll hit on that next, right here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Fix in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. We're about to hit on a little fantasy or reality before we close it out for this Thursday. Just a reminder, tomorrow's show, Jim Sanis from Number Fire with a NASCAR preview, Gray Albright with our little fantasy baseball discussion, and then George will bring it back for one more day here to fill in for Davis Maddock. I know that this is really tough doing these shows with me, so I appreciate you putting up with me for a few days.
Yeah, I told Cardano I need hazard pay for these 3 days. He's thinking about it, so we'll see how that works out for me.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're insured, George. You know, like that's a big part of you know, Sports Grid, Fantasy Sports Today. You got to make sure that you're taken care of here, because like subjects like Friends and SpongeBob, you didn't think that's what you would be getting into this week.
But the SpongeBob, no. The Friends made some sense. You and I are the same. Yeah, we grew up the same time, so Friends was a good show. But SpongeBob, yeah, I have to admit that wasn't on my list of topics that might come up.
Yeah, and I heard you had a sideshow conversation about SpongeBob. I'm really proud of you, man. Like, that's it's amazing how things work out.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I come home from the gym this morning, and my neighbor's out there, and she has a younger daughter. I'd say she's about six. The daughter, not my neighbor. So I asked her, do you know who Patrick Starr of SpongeBob? And she knew right away. She's telling me details about him. You know, and I asked, listen, does he deserve his own show? You know, I think it's a hey, Patrick Starr. And she said yes. That if she had the authority, she thinks Patrick Starr deserves his own standalone show.
Well, George, it just goes along the lines of what we've been saying here, and I'm glad that you're coming around to it. I know that you said on Fantasy Reality the other day you were willing to do it. So, yeah, now we just got to make you watch it, George. That's kind of where we're at.
I'll binge it this weekend.
All right,
that and the Friends thing.
I'm looking forward. Maybe you'll come back next week just for a little guest appearance to talk about the Friends reunion. We can do that. Okay,
deal.
All right, Brett, did you watch the Friends reunion yet or no?
No, I have not, Craig. I have not watched the Friends reunion, but I was a little young for that. I was a How I Met Your Mother generation.
All right. Well, if there's a reunion for that, then you can get involved. All right. Fantasy or reality? Let's get back on track here. We're losing track here on Sports Grid. Let's get back on track. What do you got for us today, Greg or Brett?
All good. We'll start off on the ice. Well, kind of on the ice with the NHL draft. The Buffalo Sabres have gotten the number one pick in the NHL draft. They definitely need it. But there is an expansion team joining the NHL next year. The Seattle Kraken, George mentioned them earlier. They will be picking number two overall. So, George, we'll start with you since this is taking place in the NHL. Expansion teams should get the number one overall pick. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Ooh, this is a good one. With the amount of money that these expansion teams pay the league to get in there, I think this is reality. I think you got to give them something. I think you have to give them something. The way it worked in the NHL is they were guaranteed a top five pick, and then they had the ping pong balls, you know, a certain percentage to move up, and they won. I think they were the only team that moved up. So they went from five to two, which I'm sure they're thrilled about. There is no superstar or superstar coming out in the NHL this year. Sorry, Buffalo. So there's really no transcendent player coming out. But I'm going to say this is reality, Craig. I think, once again, in all sports, they're paying at least $500 million, maybe even more, to join these leagues. Give them something off the bat here, something for the fans to root for. Yes, I'm going to go reality.
Come on, a new team just because they're an expansion team, they get the first pick? That's BS. No way. Worst team gets the number one pick, period. That's the way it should work. Now, if you want to give the expansion team, let's say, like one of those big events like the NHL draft, or you want to give them the All-Star game, yeah, I'm totally on board with that. But just because they're new to the league and they got in, they get to pick first overall? No, that's not going to work. It still has to go in order of the worst. So this is a fantasy for me, Brett. Good question, though. I think Seattle can have their second pick overall. You could give me 10 names. I still would have no idea who's going to be the first pick in the NHL draft. That's what I know about it. But here's what I know. In sports, you can't reward the worst team and all of a sudden put them in a position to be the best. We've seen that in the NFL before when Carolina and Jacksonville came into the NFL and basically let them have their free run of all the free agents, and they were good immediately. You come in the league, you pay your dues. You don't get the first pick. No way. Fantasy.
All right. I actually think I know the number one overall pick. George, maybe you can correct me, but it's going to be that kid Power from Michigan, right?
I would agree with you. But the only thing is it's a weird year. This is going to be in all sports because the scouts haven't been able to follow players. And we saw it in the NFL, too. There's some picks there that we like, didn't see that guy going this early. So things could change for that reason because you haven't been able to see the guys in Europe play and stuff like that. So he's going to be there, but I certainly wouldn't guarantee it. I'm going to bring up one other thing about the draft. Now, you said the worst team should get it. Doesn't it bother you guys that these teams tank? You know, that's the dirty word now in sports, tank. I don't think the worst team should get it anymore. I think what we should do is sort of like we do in fantasy leagues now. The first team that doesn't make the playoffs, they get the pick. So in other words, maybe it's the eighth best team and go on down like that because that team tried hard but didn't get in. that'll stop tanking real quick if you start rewarding teams like that.
You lost me a power, George. I didn't even know that name. Sorry. No clue. Zero clue who that was. I know there was a pitcher for the Reds named Power many years ago, so no idea.
No worries. All right. We'll get back on fantasy or reality here. The Chicago Cubs have won 9 of their last 10 games and are sitting in first place in the NL Central. This is a team that was trying to sell off Chris Bryant this summer. They sold off Yu Darvish this summer. They were looking to sell off Javi Baez and Rizzo and anything they could sell off. But we have to ask, sitting with the 5th best record in the league, Craig, we'll start with you. The Chicago Cubs will be buyers at the trade deadline. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, Brett, I think if you're a Cubs fan, you got to understand the message that was sent in the offseason, which essentially is this. They traded Yu Darvish for nothing. They got rid of his salary. They would have done it with Craig Kimbrell if they could have, and I still think that they would do it now. I think Cubs fans are going to be really disappointed if they think on July 31st this team is going to go back all in again and try and win. And by the way, it would be a mistake. Their team is still flawed. They strike out too much. They have aging players. It's not like they have like 7 guys under 23 years old who are on the move. Their farm system is still not good. Their starting pitching isn't great. They've had a great start to their season, and I don't want to take that away from them for sure. But they will be making an epic mistake if they stand pat. We saw this with the Giants a few years ago where they kind of like stayed in it and they wanted to go for it. And then they had to take 2 steps back to take the step forward that they took this year. I will say fantasy. The Cubs were sellers 3 months ago. How all of a sudden do you think that they're just going to be adding guys and trading prospects? By the way, they don't even have prospects to trade. Fantasy.
All right. Now, I agree with everything both of you said. Everything. Because they did try and trade Chris Bryant, right? They gave away Darvish for nothing here. They wanted to move everybody here. But I'm going to play a little lawyer here. The Chicago Cubs will be buyers at the trade deadline. You didn't say they'll be big buyers or getting big names here. I think they'll be one of these teams. And we see this, some GMs play this game in the past, right? If they're still in it, oh, we'll buy, but it'll be small pieces. Nothing big. It'll be nothing that hurts their farm system, but it'll be little itty-bitty guys. Oh, yeah, we gave you this guy. We'll give you this utility guy here. So that's where I'm going with this. I don't think they're going to do nothing because the fans will go have an uproar, right? So I think they're going to play a little game here. They won't be big buyers here. I completely agree. I think this team has so many problems. I mean, your starting rotation is Hendricks, Davies, Arrieta. Owsley has been fantastic. Trevor Williams is on the IL. You need more than one star. You need multiple starters there. You could use someone like Yu Darvish. He would really help this team. So I think it would be a mistake for them to do anything big, and they certainly want to sell. They want to cut payroll here, but I think they're going to play that game, and they're going to add a little piece here. So I'll say it's a reality in that direction.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They sent a bad message this offseason. Almost traded Contreras a couple different times too. And they didn't care about the fans being in an uproar when they gave away Yu Darvish. So, I mean, look, in the end, George, you could be right. Maybe they get a bullpen guy of some kind. But I'm still going to say fantasy. But that a buyer means you're going after, like, Ketel Marte, you know, like somebody like that. I'm going to say fantasy.
If you're putting it like that, then I'll say then you're correct.
You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. Brett, let's finish up.
Oh, I think we may have lost George there. So, Craig, we'll start with you on this one.
We
saw something interesting happen at the Garden last night. Spike Lee was leaving early. Reggie Miller called him out on it. I'm a big fan of this. I love the trash talk between those two. And we brought it up last week about how Trey Young might have been filling some of those Reggie Miller shoes. But we'll leave it at this. The Knicks were getting blown out last night. And George has officially lost internet, so we will keep you posted on that. But, Craig, we'll start with you. Fantasy or reality, leaving the arena early during a blowout is okay. Is this a fantasy or reality?
First of all, I think that it would be a fun exercise. For those of you who can't see what happens behind the scenes, yes, a lot of our show is run digitally. But there is a beautiful shot right now of George just smiling, sitting, looking at the screen with the mic there. And I don't know if we can, there he is. So George is kind of still with us here a little bit. He's not talking. He's sort of frozen, but I mean, look, we probably could get away with doing the rest of the show with George like that. In fact, we'll try to do it. So I'll go first and then I'll talk for George. Okay. So I'll make the opinion for George. I'll do his voice. Okay. First of all, as a fan, you get to choose whatever you want to do. So it is okay. Now, I know Brett was eating it alive here with Spike Lee walking out, and he was pissed and he was upset. But I got to tell you, after being to thousands of games as fans and media, I have been accused many times of leaving games early, and it is absolutely true. I leave early a lot. And honestly, I mean, let's be honest. I'm in games in Miami where the crowds are not keeping me from the highway, and I still leave early. Now, diehard fans, they stay, and I understand it. But if you pay for a ticket, you get to choose to do whatever you want to do. So far be it from me to say that you can't leave early. So I will say fantasy, you can't. Let's see what George has to say here with Fantasy Royale. Let's bring up the picture of George here, and I'll speak to George. Well, you know, Craig, I really think it's sort of a good idea. You know, if you want to leave, you could leave. If you don't want to leave, you don't leave. I think that for me, I would say it's fine. It's fine. You want to go, have a good time. You don't want to go, you don't. But I didn't like the way... Wait, now you show me. I have to like do the ventriloquist thing here and put my hand on George's head over here. So, oh, there you go. Thank you. Okay. Well, Craig, I'm going to say reality. That's what I'm going to say. You should not leave a game early. That's what I got, and that's it. I'm George Kurtz for Fantasy Sports Today, and that's all I got. So there you go. You can come back to me now. Thank you, George. Appreciate it. That's fantasy reality. Nonetheless, we got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, so make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid. If we get George back, we'll have him. If not, I'll talk for 2 minutes instead of one and give you my final opinion on the show today here for this Thursday. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. I am going to fly solo and close out the show for you guys here today on the show with the Sports Grid 60. Today we'll call it the Sports Grid 120. Well, sort of a lesson learned for me a little bit yesterday where, for those of you who watch or listen to the show every day, you probably know that I cover Major League Baseball. One of the teams that I cover more exclusively is the Miami Marlins, and one of the players that they have on their team was part of the Zoom post-game show last night. His name is Corey Dickerson. He's an outfielder who's been in the big leagues for about 10 years, having a really tough season thus far. He had a home run yesterday. It was only his second home run. If you look at the back of his baseball card, you'll see Corey Dickerson is a player that normally hits about 15, 20 home runs or a season. So naturally, the groundswell is what's going on. Why is this player not good? Why isn't he doing well? And it's really hard to kind of get those answers when you can't get in front of people to ask those questions. And even on Zoom, sometimes you really don't get the full story there. But in the post game last night, when I asked him about the season that he's had so far, he said that, well, quite frankly, people don't know everything that's going on personally with people. And then when I pressed him further, he mentioned that his father is very ill and it's been really hard to focus on games. And it just kind of hit me that that's one of the big things that I don't think that we realize, that imagine all of the athletes and coaches and people that we talk about in sports. And let's say we talk about 1,000 of them here on Sports Grid. The odds are pretty strong that there is something going on in their personal lives. Maybe it's only 1 or 2% of them, but there is. And so I would just caution that before you just dog somebody's performance and say that somebody's playing terribly or somebody's awful, you may want to do a little bit more research. And I should probably want to do a little bit more research and find those answers out before we indict players per performance. Because I know that if I was in the same position as him, it would be really hard to focus for me. That'll do it for our show. Thanks again to George Kurtz for filling in on the program. Of course, thanks to Brett, Danny, and Ryan, and of course at LTN for getting us on the air. We will talk to you again tomorrow right here on Sports Grid at noon Eastern. Jim Sannis will be on the show. Gray Albright will be on the show. We'll have recaps and previews of the NBA and baseball games. Until then, have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.